What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
And we are brought to you, as always, by Sprott Money. We know times are tough. Every dollar counts. We're excited to team up with Sprott Money this season, Canada's leading precious metals dealer. Since 2008, they've been the go-to for investing in physical gold, silver, and platinum. Whether you're just starting out or have an established portfolio, Sprott Money has you covered. Log on right now to sprottmoney.ca. That's S-P-R-O-T-T, money.ca. $10 off as well if you put in Pucks in 7 on your first purchase. We are back, Ryan Payton, and much as Victoria Matiash as we can get. Just quickly.
In some version of Victoria Matiash.
Some version. Right. Just quickly, Vic just celebrated a birthday, and she went away and got back late last night, later than expected. So she's doing this Wednesday morning.
I'm offering some details here. I turned 50 yesterday.
I know. I didn't want to say that because
it's
I thought,
fine.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Okay.
It does not matter anymore.
Yeah.
And my spouse, Larry, and I, who you obviously know quite well, were in Quebec City the last 3 days, and we rolled back into town very late last night. Our flight was actually delayed. It was already a late flight, and it was delayed. And there was a lot of vinos in the last 3 days, and a lot of steak tartares, and a lot of creme brulees, and a lot of French onion soups, and a lot of fun. Quebec City is a wonderful place to visit, and we had a great time. But if anybody wants to see what the rawest version of Victoria Matiash looks like,
here it is.
There's a YouTube channel right now that you can go on access.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because this is no combed hair. This is right out of bed.
I'm going to accentuate the graphics on your end. I'm going to do whatever I can. Jessica Blaylock covers the Panthers and the Marlins. Pretty good gig. She's been doing this for a long time. She'll join us in the next segment, and we'll dive into the Panthers. They keep rolling, and again, go into 77 seconds with Jess as well. So a few things to get into in this segment. Who's the best 1-2 punch when it comes to goaltending in the NHL? We'll talk about that. The Capitals continue to get it done. Ovi back on the ice, not playing yet, but no surprise, the guy's skating. He's not human. We'll talk Minnesota. We'll do in the Four Nations Cup as well. The roster's announced today again. This is Wednesday.
December 4th.
Let's begin. Two things last night, though, Vic, just to both really good, emotional in their own specific ways.
Yes. So Patrick Laine made his return to the ice for Les Habitants, for the Canadiens, and that was something we were anticipating around now because we were looking forward to Patrick Laine coming back full stop, back to hockey. Had a really rough year. Hasn't played since I think it was last December 16th. So we're almost coming up on a calendar year now. And first there were some injury issues, and then he had off ice issues to deal with.
Yes.
And dealt with that for several months as well. And then it was nice to see him sign in the summer and join the Canadiens. And this was a fresh start and something that we all looked forward to as hockey fans and also just people who are rooting for other people. And then he got hurt in training camp. And that was a bit of a blow. And it was a blow to the Canadiens. It was a blow to Patrick Laine.
Okay, are you doing more of this French thing? Because you were just spent 3 days.
I spoke French for 3 days straight.
You
right now.
Okay? Okay, so we're going to do this in French maybe? Okay, no, go ahead. I was thinking.
Je peux si tu veux.
Okay.
No? So
let's
anyways.
Let's go. Vite.
So Patrick Laine, he came back and played his first game last night for the Canadiens. Yeah. And storybook, they didn't win, but he scored a goal. And that was really quite nice. And it was the smile on his face was really something to behold and the satisfaction and the pleasure and all the rest of it. And that was great.
Here's what he said after, among many things. He said, "That was the most outrageous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yes.
It's like, I don't deserve this. It will be something I'll remember forever. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen." That tells me the type of person he is. And I remember as well, opening night, when the Canadiens did play, and that's when all the teams announce who's not playing, who's injured, then they go to the starters and all that type of thing. Laine came out and Martin St-Louis was beside him. Laine had he was in the crutches and had the boot on his leg. Mm-hmm. He looked so happy, but he also looked so sad because he wanted to get up. But the ovation the Canadian fans gave him, even though he was not playing, and who knew at that time when he'd come back, this guy's a special player. We hope he stays healthy as he goes on this season.
I have to correct myself. They did win. They won 2-1 in overtime.
1-2-1 in overtime.
What I meant to say is he didn't score the winner. What could have ended up being the winning goal, but it wasn't. That's where I was going.
So that spoils
the fact they got the win.
Patrick,
they got the win.
You couldn't get the winner in your first game. I mean, give me a break. Let's go. Back to the drawing board. Another emotional one for kind of a different reason was...
This is next level stuff though, Ryan.
Yeah, like,
this is...
Columbus into Calgary last night, and there's this picture I saw. And number one, they're honoring Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew and the family. Mm-hmm. And of course, that loss will never... Nobody will ever completely get over anything like that.
Of course not.
So there was this picture last night, and the Gaudreau family was in the middle, and this was the opening face-off. Michael Backlund was for Calgary, and Sean Monahan, Gaudreau's really good friend, was doing it for Columbus. The entire... all the teams were on the ice. So yeah, if you can look in whatever it is, Flames on the left, Flames, and then the Jackets on the right. Mm-hmm. The emotion on Sean Monahan's face. I literally, Vic, was looking at that. I was just staring to the camera. You know how they take the picture on the opening face off. I broke down a bit. I really did because I know how tough this is.
I think we all did, though.
Yeah, I know how tough this is.
If you were watching a tableau like that in a situation like that where everybody else is clearly feeling it and wearing their feelings on their chest, on their sleeves, and you're watching it as an observer, if you're not choking up at least a little bit, mm-hmm. I have questions.
You don't have a pulse.
There's just something about that where you could feel... It's almost like the emotion is contagious, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And even though we're not close to the family or we didn't know him or Matthew personally, it doesn't matter.
No.
You're just feeling what other people are feeling. And I really, really, I'm not going to say like, because there's not a lot to like about any of this, but I really appreciate how all the different teams and the NHL at large and mm-hmm. the players all together have mm-hmm. handled the Gaudreau family ever since this has happened.
Yes.
Because, you know, bringing out Guy to the practices, bringing out the family to the games, oh my goodness, listening to his wife speak afterwards is just, but everybody, in, you know, embracing them and making sure that they don't feel forgotten. I think it's massive. And whatever you want to criticize this league for or any sports league, this, they're getting this right.
Yeah. It was an emotional great night. Great, not the right word, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
At Scotiabank Saddledome last night. Okay, let's get into the goaltending situation. And I know that last time we did this podcast, which feels like eons ago, but you were talking about Filip Gustavsson. We had him on the lineup. And it was just, I mean, you've been on him for a long time. Mm-hmm. He's great. And I certainly love the guy as well. He leads the league with a 2.04 goals against average. 12-4-3.
That's bananas though, Ryan, eh?
It's ridiculous.
Like, that's pretty bananas.
And Minnesota is playing extraordinarily well. And all mm-hmm. of a sudden, they're in top spot in their division. So my question is here, and there was a list of by so many different people that came out before the season began, the top goaltending tandems and duos in hockey of all the 32 teams. At that point, the number one duo was Shesterkin and Quick in New York with the Rangers. A lot of it has to do with mm-hmm. Igor Shesterkin, but we know what's happening with them. It's not a good situation. Ranked 12th at the time was Toronto, and that was Joseph Woll and Anthony Stolarz. Mm-hmm. Do you think that those two right now in Toronto are the best?
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to the next segment now.
Yes, I do. And it's,
I mean...
But it's interesting that we're having the conversation, so I'm with you on that. Because this is not... I may have had them ranked... And I was more optimistic than most.
Sure.
Okay? I may have had them ranked top six, top seven before the season started.
Okay.
Just because... I mean, if they were both healthy and capable, because Joseph Woll's health has always been the primary concern, right?
We know
what
he's
capable. Oh, absolutely. He's completely capable. It's what he is. Can he keep it together? And he's keeping it together right now.
Mm-hmm.
So when those two were healthy, and I've seen other people bring this up as well, that it's just because it was Swayman and Ullmark in Boston. We just mm-hmm. got used to them quietly getting business done.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a situation where the Toronto Maple Leafs are playing with and without their superstars, with and without members of their top six, and they're still getting business done. And the defense is playing better. We have to give credit where credit is due.
Yes.
But also at the same time, that tandem right now, I don't know, can you think of another one?
No, I can't. I can't right. because, well, I mean, if you look at the Devils, they're playing well. I'm looking at teams like outside of the Devils because you knew that it would be pretty good with Alan Markstrom and the Rangers, not so good, but you thought it would be. I'm looking at teams like Toronto where people may not have thought that the Leafs would have two really good goaltenders. Stolarz has been absolutely phenomenal.
If you're thinking about other teams, though, that are succeeding right now, it's one guy is getting it done.
That's right.
Right? And, it's like a Hellebuck or it's a Gustafsson. Yeah. It's and, not two.
And Wall has had, the sample size is small, but the Leafs are the only two goalies, the tandem in the top five in the NHL when it comes to goals against and save percentage. And the other ones, of course, as you said, hey, there's one doing it in Minnesota. There's one doing it in Boston, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a great thing. And the team structure differently than certainly has been before. The coach has done a great job. They've only given up, I think, 61 goals against, which is, I know they haven't scored as much as other teams, but they've only given up 61. So defensively, this team is certainly tightened up.
Ryan, what matters? The W.
Yeah, the W doesn't matter how you get it done, as long as you get it done.
2-1, 7-6, it does not matter.
No. The Capitals in the Metro, this is astonishing still for me. This team has scored 102 goals. They lead the league in the NHL, which makes no sense. They're a plus 31. Last year, I think they were a minus 31 or minus 37, something like that.
I think they were minus 37 by the time they got in.
So, hey, give me six more goals. Look at this. What a turnaround. Plus 37 from minus 37. They've done it without Ovechkin. He's back on the ice, which is great news. Who knows when he'll be back, but more
December
than likely.
20th.
Okay, there it is. So December 20th. So
that's my prediction.
What do we have to? Oh, that's your prediction. Okay. Mm-hmm. Before Christmas. Nice Christmas gift. Capitals continue, Vic, to get this thing done. The Devils tied in points with 36. The Canes at 33. There is separation now between fourth and first in that Metro division. And the separation is 9 points. So I've always said this to you. You can't win a playoff spot in October and some in November, but you can certainly get behind the eight ball. The Rangers, they're not even the top three right now in the Metro.
Ryan,
incredible credit
is
due to the Capitals. They've been playing phenomenal.
Rangers are not playing very well, and they're losing games. It's starting. I wasn't concerned last week or a week and a half ago, but I'm starting to become a little bit more concerned. But to your point, the Capitals have, would you say the most impressive performance so far in the NHL?
Hands down.
Yeah?
Easy.
You're not going to throw the Flames out there?
No. Oh my gosh.
Look at your
face. Stop giving such love to the Calgary Flames.
Your face on that. It's not an outrageous suggestion.
Calgary is 30 points in 26 games. It pales in comparison. Nobody picked the Capitals to maybe even be in the postseason this year.
No, you're right. No,
some people may have thought the Flames, but to go 36 points in 25 games, to lead the league and to not play with Ovechkin recently. And remember, Ovi didn't start too well. And then he all of a sudden caught fire. I just think I'm not going to say they're playing with, like they're catching lightning in a bottle kind of thing like that. But Spencer Carberry's been great. The confidence is...
Leader Jack Adams right now?
This is the thing, and I know I've talked to you about this before. When Jim Montgomery won the Jack Adams 2 years ago, right? After that
2 years ago.
Yeah. That's great. That's fine. But I know Lindy Ruff turned the Devils around from a terrible team to a great team. I don't necessarily believe you have to give the coach of the year award to the team that has the most points. Yes, Montgomery, great job coaching. You and I could have coached that team. They would have maybe had 110 or 15 points. Mm-hmm. And that's with all due respect to Montgomery. What Spencer Carberry is doing, I absolutely think he should be up there. Scotty Arneal, same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even in Minnesota. But I really do think, because it's unexpected what the Capitals are doing.
I think he's a leader right now with the way that Winnipeg has stumbled a little bit recently.
Yeah.
Just, and this could change in a week and a half, 2 weeks, three weeks, and we can be back on the Arneal bandwagon. But right now, I'm favoring Carberry as well.
Yeah. The Jets, they're leaking fuel a bit right now. So they've lost four in a row. Why are you asking me that? I have no clue. Hey, hold on. Scott Arneal, here's the answer. You know what it is? And I think I said this to one of our messages before we came on, is that it stinks to have such a great start. Because then if they didn't have such an amazing start, this four in a row losses, okay, yeah, what's going on with the team? We'll tweak this, we'll tweak that. But since they started so extraordinarily well, I think people are making more of an issue about it. It's not sustainable. Yeah. You're not going to go 81-1. No team's going to do that, and no team will ever do that. I think they're fine. But I think what's happening is other teams are kind of catching on. Okay, how do we play with them better? Let's not get so intimidated by them. Look at Minnesota. They won four in a row. And to your point, Winnipeg could turn this around and they could win four in a row all of a sudden. So I'm not concerned yet. But if they kind of go, say they win the next two and then lose the next three, and then maybe win one, then lose the next two. These losing streaks don't bother me if they're only at four. But if the inconsistency comes in winning and losses, that's where it'll start to concern.
I did not like the way they looked against the Blues. I'm going to say that. I did not like the way. They were really scrambling in their own end. Mm-hmm. They looked disorganized. And that was not the version of the Jets that we had become accustomed to through most of October. Well, all of October. And most of November. So, again, I will offer the hiccup anywhere. We all take a break and don't perform to our best, okay? But this can't go on too much longer, because then we're going to start to have serious conversations. But right now, they don't look fantastic right now. Right?
No, they don't. They'll be in the postseason unless they
they have too much of a cushion.
15 or 20.
They
or 20.
Just won too many games to start. And good for them. And by the way, they deserve that, right? They deserve that cushion because they earned
the
it.
You bank the points. What percentage of teams, quick question before we almost wrap it up. What percentage of teams make the postseason if they're in a playoff spot by U.S. Thanksgiving? What would you say?
90.
77%.
Really?
I thought it would be higher like you as well.
Yeah.
Four Nations Cup. I can't wait for this. I love the international play.
Yeah,
I love the fact
too.
You get NHL players, Sweden, Finland, the U.S., and Canada. The announcements are going to happen today, and they're going to be staggered. Of course, Canada and the U.S.
December 4th. That's right.
Later on. Yes. The fact that you know it's December 4th, that's something in itself.
Well, I know what December 3rd is, so it doesn't take that much of a lead.
I'm just saying you could get, you know, the Captain December, right? There you go.
Is
there's
it Tuesday? Tuesday,
I don't know
Thursday.
What day it is. Is it Wednesday? Whatever it is. Anyway, this is going to be great, Vic. Mm-hmm. And always when you come down to this, it's kind of like the All-Star game, but this is more amped up. It's almost like who didn't make it, that who maybe should have made it outside of who actually made the teams.
It's fun to talk about.
Yeah.
The goaltending for Team Canada has, let me just adjust this very, very, very quickly. The goaltending for Team Canada has been a point of discussion recently.
It has.
Just because it has never been, well, I can't remember it being a pressing issue in the past, because you're looking at what's going on with the States, with Ottinger and Hellebuck, and you're like, and it doesn't even matter who the third is.
No,
it just doesn't.
No.
But now you're looking at, and there's no Patrick Roy, and there's no Marty Brodeur, and there's no Carey Price, and there's no Roberto Luongo. And Marc-Andre Fleury is 108 years old. So you can't, it's just, there's no obvious choices. So right now we're looking at Aiden Hill, Jordan Binnington, right?
Yes.
Yes?
And
Logan Thompson?
Logan Thompson.
I think so.
Yeah. I think so too.
But can you even imagine having a conversation? This is not knocking Logan Thompson. He's played really well and he deserves to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine having it 2 years ago and go, Logan Thompson is obviously going to represent Canada on the world stage, right?
Yeah.
It's. I'm going to say this very, very quickly, and I know we have to wrap because Jessica's coming on. It bothers me a little bit that they have to declare their rosters this early. We are 2.5
Likewise.
Months away.
Fully agree.
Okay.
Fully agree.
I'm not saying that I want them to submit it 2 weeks before, because I know people have to plan and they have to get organized. And I get all
that's
of that.
That's fine.
2.5 months?
I know.
We couldn't do this Boxing Day? Honest to goodness?
Yeah.
Anyway.
February 12th to the 20th. That's when the tournament will take place.
Away.
I know it is. Each team has 20 skaters and 3 goalies. Sweden and Finland's teams will be announced. Have a sip of whatever you're drinking. At 2:30 Eastern today, while Canada and the U.S. is 6:30. Quick one. Mm-hmm. How about this trio when it comes to goaltending for Team Sweden?
Go ahead.
Linus Ullmark, Jacob Markstrom, Filip Gustafsson.
That's pretty dangerous.
It is.
Are they going to win? It's so interesting when people are talking about who's the favorite, and Canada's got McKinnon, and you know, and you're talking about all these different players, but it's your defense and your goaltending, man.
No.
How many times have we seen Switzerland completely hose other teams because they just don't let any goals in? Right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. There's no holes. There's no holes in their goaltending, like Swiss cheese. Nothing at all.
No. Nice.
Jess Blaylock, right now there's no holes in the Panthers. They look great. I think they're the toughest team to face in the National Hockey League. She'll join us next, and we'll also go 77 seconds with Jess as well. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Maniash, brought to you as always by Sprott.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payne and Victoria Maniash.
And as always, we're brought to you by Sprott Money, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. Welcome back to Pucks and Seven. I and Vic have been doing this for 3 years, and we've also been doing our separate things on the radio for a long time. And one of the things that I've done is I've spoken to so many different people, whether they're in broadcasting or athletes or coaches or fans, whoever it is. Actually, I have no fans of me, so forget that. I'm just kidding. Well, who knows? Anyway, one of the great things about doing video is that you get a chance to see people that you've spoken to for so long. And this is a chance. Jessica Blaylock, who covers the Marlins and the Panthers, joining us here on Pucks and Seven. It's good to see you. Haven't said that in haven't said that ever to you.
Yeah, I know. This is so nice because I'm totally with you. We have great conversations on NHL radio, but to finally be able to speak face to face, I'm super pumped. So thank you for having me on.
And I'm sorry about some of those conversations. I know we go off the rails a lot of the time.
I always have so much fun and wish that we had more time.
Because yeah, well, you know what we'll do?
Forever.
One time, we'll maybe get you on for 2 seconds then. We'll do that.
Perfect.
And just talk about whatever. Talk
Love
about
it.
The Panthers and talk about hockey. Anyway, always great to have you. Okay, so let's get into it. Vic will pick me up in a second. To me, the Panthers are the toughest team in the NHL to play against. Is that a fair statement?
I think it's a very fair statement. And I think especially this season, because they're a little bit more offensive minded this year than they were last year. Whereas last year, you know, you take a look at the team defensively and they were at the top of the NHL in almost every category. The one way that their identity is a little bit different this year is because they know the system that they need to play defensively. It allows the game to open up a little bit more offensively. And Anton Lundell is a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got guys that know how to play responsibly on the defensive side of the game. And because of that, the great defensive side leads to even more offensive production. And we know obviously what Sam Reinhart is doing.
Right.
Sam Bennett is having a great year offensively. Anton Lundell's been really good. And you just, you know, you have really no quote unquote weakness mm-hmm. when it comes to that team. And so I think it's a very fair statement.
I want to jump on that. There's no weakness. Just for 1 second. You got Bobrovsky in net. Spencer Knight was not fantastic the other day. Is that a concern that you're going to put all of your eggs in Bob's basket? Or do you think it's just Spencer Knight had a bad game and he's going to be just fine?
Yeah, I think that maybe there were a couple of pucks that maybe could have been saved. But
I think so too.
Yeah, if you look at his previous outings, you know, he was just coming off of a shutout against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Fair enough. You're right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, had been honestly really tremendous, other than maybe some of the pucks that went in the other night against Pittsburgh and mm-hmm. his first start of the season against the Sabres.
Right.
Other than that, he has been really, really good when he's been called upon. And, you know, I think you look at Sergei Bobrovsky's numbers this season and they're not great, but I feel like he's played better than the numbers say because
mm-hmm. right.
in every game, he's made these game-saving, game-changing, momentum-swing type saves. And so even though the numbers, you'd look and be like, it's not fantastic, he just has an ability to make the saves that you need him to. And his presence, just in between the pipes, it seems like, calms everybody down.
That's the thing, Jess. I think it makes such a difference. Ryan and I talk about this all the time. It's not even necessarily how well or poorly the goaltender is playing. It's how the players in front feel about how they are playing and how they play differently, right? When they know that that guy or gal is back there doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And right? They can relax a little bit.
And I think sometimes we get caught up in the numbers and we just mm-hmm. say, that goalie didn't have a great night. But you have to look at so much more than that. How did mm-hmm. the defense play in front of him? You know, were mm-hmm. there a couple of odd man rushes? Were there breakaways? So I think not all of the goals maybe that Spencer even gave up the other night were completely on him or not, you know, not every
goal
given up this season have been completely on him. So I think it kind of goes hand in hand that there is always a bigger picture that tells the story versus just the stat line.
That's sometimes totally go off on little tangents. Vic knows this and Jess knows this. So let's just say that Spencer Knight and Sergei Bobrovsky decided to play college basketball in the U.S. They would have gone to Indiana because they would have been coached by Bob Knight. It's terrible. Anyway, carry on. Yeah, you guys are off. Yeah, okay. Speaking of goaltending, Vic, it's okay. Just think about the trip you just went on. Just think about
it's
the
actually,
trip you just
went on.
Actually,
you know what? That wasn't bad, but that took a lot of work for you to come up with the Bob and the Knight. Yeah, but anyway,
well,
okay.
It's,
let's get back on track.
I can totally see, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky with his demeanor throwing a chair out onto the ice.
Right.
Right.
You know, makes sense.
Of course. Speaking of goalies, one of the former Panthers, Anthony Stolarz, in mm-hmm. Toronto, he's doing really well.
Yeah.
And Vic and I
really
talked about this,
well.
Too, that maybe the best 1-2 combo in hockey with Joe Wall, who's healthy, and Stolarz. But he's been I didn't realize how big the guy was until watching a lot more of these games. Talk a bit about him, because, of course, he used to be in Florida.
Yeah, and he was so good for the Panthers last year.
Wasn't he?
He was so good. And I think, you know, it is such a tough job to be a backup goalie, right? And he worked so hard and was always so prepared, and every game that you knew he was going to get the start, you felt just as good as when Sergei Bobrovsky was in the net.
That speaks mm-hmm. volumes.
It does.
Speaks volumes.
Was fantastic. And, you know, there was one game, gosh, was it against either Buffalo or the Islanders? I mean, he had like a 41 save shutout or something just absurd. And so you knew whoever was in the net that night, whether it was Sergei Bobrovsky or Anthony Stolarz, there was no drop off. And the team felt that
right.
well. And I think that's a huge thing that speaks volumes to Stolarz.
That's so big.
Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, when Paul Maurice would talk about whoever was getting the start, when players would talk about whoever was getting the start, there was just as much confidence in Stolarz as there was in Bob. And it speaks volumes to Stolarz and his preparation. It speaks mm-hmm. volumes to the type of teammate he was, the hard work that he put in. And when he went to Toronto, I think everybody knew he was going to do really, really well, because he mm-hmm. deserved that opportunity based on the way he played last season to get a role where he was going to get a bulk of the starts. And so the Leafs are very, very lucky to have a guy like Stolarz.
I think everybody's starting to realize that in Toronto now, because the biggest knock against the guy in the offseason when the transaction happened was, oh, he only had 27 appearances last year. First of all, that's not his fault.
Right.
Second of all, quality over quantity. The
Absolutely.
Fact that he played so well. Whether he had 7 starts or 17 starts or 47 starts, I want to look at the sample size that were offered.
Yeah.
And he absolutely knocked it out of the park. So
and
if he stays healthy.
Tremendous this year,
they were,
by the way.
So good.
But
they're
also,
good this year and they were good last year.
I, as a Panther fan, it's hard for me to speak positively about the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I will. They have almost undergone a similar shift to the Panthers in the sense that they're playing a much more defensive styled game.
Yes.
And I think that also, you know, that works hand in hand, right? With the numbers that Stolarz is putting up. When you have a solid goalie in the net, but you also have a solid defense in front of him, you know, mm-hmm. the two go hand in hand. So I think it's a credit to both Stolarz, but also a credit to a little bit of the identity shift that the Leafs have undergone this season under Berube.
Absolutely.
So we should be honored then that you're talking to the both of us, because we're both in Toronto, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So thanks, Jess. I appreciate that.
I want to jump on that, Ryan. Let me jump on that for a second.
Yeah.
Is that so? Now you're down there, you're covering the Panthers. So is now the biggest rival in the Atlantic considered Toronto, or is it the Lightning? Or
I think a lot of guys almost would say Boston. Just because.
Really?
So I think some of the players were actually asked that during the offseason. And I want to say that Reinhart definitely said Boston. And I think it's just because of the way things have played out in the postseason the past couple of years. And I think also, in a way, the Panthers finally getting through the Lightning in the playoffs almost created a little bit of a shift in how they view that rivalry as well. But I mean, you know, Toronto, Tampa, Boston is probably 1A, 1B, and 1B.
Right.
If you
fold
100 different Panther play or not players, 100 different Panther fans.
Mm-hmm.
33% would say Toronto, 33% would say Lightning. 33,
right down the middle.
Yeah, yeah. I think it would be pretty evenly split.
Yeah. Aaron Ekblad, he's only, he'll be 29, and it seems like he's been in the league. He has been in the league for a long time.
Yeah, 25 years. Still that he's been playing in the NHL for 25 years. That's
well, hey, you got to start when you're four. Totally get it. some guys just have it at four, right? So he's in the last year of his contract, comes to an end. He's playing very well. I think he's... I thought last year maybe he was regressing a little bit. He wasn't being talked about as much, but he's still such an anchor on that back end. Number one, what type of contract do you think that he's going to get going forward? I think he'll be a Panther all the way through. And secondly, what have you seen about his game and liked about his game this year?
So I think Ekblad is a fascinating player in the sense of the evolution his game and style of play has gone through. I've had the chance to cover Aaron Ekblad and Alexander Barkov for a decade now, which is crazy to think about. You know, I'm in my 10th year of covering the Panthers. And so I've been with those two players for the past 10 years. So it's been really, really special because I've literally had the chance to see them both kind of grow up in the NHL. And so when it comes to Ekblad, you think about when he first came in the league and he was such an offensive-minded defenseman. Yeah. And now he is truly just a stay-at-home defenseman. He and Gustav Forsling have been tremendous, always obviously drawing the toughest assignments every night. And just the pure number of minutes that Ekblad plays every night, you know, not just at even strength, but as part of the top unit power play and the penalty kill. And so
he's up to, he's up to 23-19 per
it's
game.
Crazy.
This season.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's a lot.
Yep.
I think last year, you know, you have to remember he was coming back from the shoulder injury, had an oblique during the playoffs, you know, a lower body injury. So when he first came back, you know, he had missed some time and he had missed a normal off-season routine and shortened off-season anyway. So when he came back, Paul Maurice gave him a ton of credit for really making sure his defensive game was buttoned up. And I think it's been really unselfish to see the way he has shifted his game to fit into the style of play that Paul Maurice wants.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, he has prioritized being a shutdown defenseman over his own personal points. And so that's the first thing for Ekblad is just giving him props for the way that he's completely, completely shifted his style of play to suit the system and to suit what the team needs from him. The second thing, I agree. I think that he'll be a Panther for a long time. And I think it's hard to find players like him around the league who take on that many valuable minutes and do it at a high level. So what the numbers will look like, I really honestly, you know, there's probably going to be a little bit of a drop off, I would think, in what the number is that he's making per year, only because he is getting to... It's hard
he's
to
entering his 30s.
Back in his career, but in a way.
And he's at 7.5.
Yeah.
So that's he's at now. So I agree with you.
But I do think that he is just one of those guys, similar to Barkov, that you just don't picture him in any other uniform than a Florida Panthers uniform. And I think he loves it here. I think that he, you know, enjoys being in South Florida and wants to stay. And I think that's kind of the cool part about it is the way that you've seen the transformation of how much players want to be here. And that speaks volumes to the commitment of Vinny and Teresa Viola,
right?
Phil Zito, you know, what Paul Maurice has done.
I think that he's a big factor. I think players really like to play for Paul Maurice. I think that's a massive factor.
Without a doubt.
Do you want to keep going on the Paul Maurice thing, Vic? I know it'll probably help you feel better today.
I've loved him. I've loved him forever.
Yeah.
Caroline, I've loved Paul Maurice forever.
He is the best. He is the best.
I've always had a little bit of a fan crush on that guy.
Yeah.
I will, one last one before we go to 77 seconds. Thanks so much, Jess. We really appreciate you taking the time here. If you could come up with one underrated Panther, somebody maybe we're not talking about.
Eskalos Surinen. Easy.
There you go.
Easy.
Didn't even finish the question. Yeah. So that's an obvious answer.
So it's so funny. I literally just said this a couple of games ago. Last year, I would have said Gustav Forsling.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He led the league in plus minus, had a mm-hmm. great playoffs. So I feel like people now know more about Gustav.
Right.
Etu Luostarinen is just one of those guys who does so many things well. And even when he's not necessarily cracking the score sheet, whether it's the penalty right. kill, whether it's the defensive side of his game, whether it's, you know, driving the third line, he's just such an important player and doesn't get discussed enough. And then I would also throw out a Nico Mikkola.
Okay.
Because, right, talking about, when you talk about a team, it's always the goal scoring that's sexy, or it's always mm-hmm. special teams or whatever it might be. It's never, you know, just the responsible blue liner.
Right.
And so I would say, as far as a forward is concerned, I'd go Etu. And as far as a D-man is concerned, I think you could go Nico Mikkola, even maybe a Dmitry Kulikov.
Okay. I think Kulikov gets his due a little bit, though. But I like the other two. I think Kulikov gets more attention now than he used to as well. Well, it was always the old, not the old joke, but who was the most underrated player in the entire NHL was always Alexander Barkov. And I'm
right.
like, and you can't be discussed.
We cannot say that at all. And which makes
no.
me so happy.
Right?
No.
We always right? knew how special of a player
right.
he had. Yeah. And now for the rest of the league to... And players always knew it, right? Because they would do the
right.
polls and the players would vote and always say Alexander Barkov. You know, Sidney Crosby has said before that Barkov's one of the toughest centers he's mm-hmm. ever played against. So when Sidney Crosby is saying that about you, you're obviously doing mm-hmm. something right.
You can't be underrated for 10 years in a row. That's my right. point. Like
no,
at some point,
be.
You just
you can't
you, now you're yeah. rated, right?
Yeah.
So.
Okay, Jess, here we go. 77 seconds with you. And I've already prefaced this. So what... Vic, I didn't tell you this, but Jess wants this to be trivia. She wants this to be 100 years of NHL history. No. She said to me, as long as it's not trivia.
I'm studying.
Oh, no, no, no. This is, they're very personalized yeah. questions.
And I joked with her. I said, we'll only cover 80 years. We're not going to do 100. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so 77 seconds. We'll give you 7 questions. Take as much time, but get it under 77 seconds if okay. you can. So let's go. You cover the Marlins as well. So best place to attend a Major League Baseball game.
Ooh, Fenway.
That's a good answer.
My dad is from Boston originally.
Okay.
So to me, Fenway, I'm sorry, Disney, but Fenway is the most magical place on the earth. And when I first, my first year of covering the Marlins, we actually played the AL East. And so I got to work a game at Fenway. And when
amazing.
I walked out onto the field, it was just one of those surreal pinch me.
I've been there. I know
like,
exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Wanted to fall to my knees in gratitude for what I get to do kind of moment. So
yeah.
Fenway, but City Field, I'm going to go number two.
Okay.
City Field okay. is a super fun atmosphere as well.
Okay.
I think Ryan, you and I have talked about doing a road trip down the city. Haven't we talked
we
about
have.
That? At
oh,
some?
We have.
I've been to Fenway. It's neat walking in there with the Green Monster and all the rest.
Yeah.
The fact it's right downtown too, and there's so much buzz around it. It
and
just, I think it makes
really
a little
changed.
Bit of a difference.
Like
yeah.
you sit in
yeah.
the seat and you know the people sat in that very same seat 100
yeah.
years ago,
yeah.
watched a game.
So much history.
It's awesome.
I'm lengthening the 77 seconds, so I'm blowing it for you.
I was just going to say, can I remind you, too, that
yeah,
we have 77 seconds? I mean, I'm just...
We already just blew it.
I'm not good at following rules. Sorry.
No.
We're not very good at it either.
No, whatever.
Does Reinhart score 50 this year?
Yes.
Or more?
Yes.
Okay.
And the reason why
go.
Is because he can score at even strength. He can score on the power play. And he is so good at racking up those shorthanded goals. So
he
I think
is,
because...
isn't he?
I mean, he's on pace right now for 68, I believe. So,
crazy.
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
I probably know the answer to this. If you chose one, Matthew or Brady Tkachuk?
Oh, Matthew. Matthew
okay.
Tkachuk, hands down. And let me tell you this. I can honestly say Matthew Tkachuk is such a great human being. And
mm-hmm.
I know that you know, fans from opposing teams, maybe they can't stand him when he's out on the ice. And understandably so, he's the guy that when he's on your team, you love him. And if he's not, he's the guy that you love
you
to hate. But Matthew
yeah.
Tkachuk his parents did a wonderful job raising him. He is the guy that always makes you feel like you're part of it, never on the outside looking in. And I have such deep appreciation for Matthew because of that. And I have no doubt Brady's the same way. But Matthew is my guy, and I have nothing but wonderful things to say about him.
Either sport, baseball or hockey or anything, really, your favorite interview ever or most memorable?
Oh, man, that is such a great question. And I've been so lucky because I've had the ability to cover all four major sports in some capacity. I got to cover Ichiro's press conference after he had his
awesome
hit, and got to sit in the front row and ask the very first question. So that's pretty cool to be part of that moment. I mean, obviously getting to talk to Jaromir Jagr for the Panthers my first couple seasons was pretty incredible.
Honestly. He's like the answer for everybody. Yeah, do you know that, Jess?
Everyone says that.
Everybody says Jagr.
Oh, I believe it.
Like, we've asked this. Yeah, they're just like, he's just such a unique dude, and he'll talk your ear off, and he's so entertaining.
Boy, that one we could do a whole podcast on that. just tremendous interviews from throughout the years. So, yeah, I'll say, that's more like cool moments to be a part of. Favorite interview?
You can come back to it, call a friend.
That could
50-50, whatever you want.
That shows how lucky I've been to be able to talk to so many cool people that it's really hard to come up with just one.
Providing he stays healthy, does Ovi break Gretzky's record?
Yes.
This year.
Oh, this year. Yeah.
This year.
This year.
Yes. And I look at the tear he was on to start the season and just what the Capitals are doing, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe one of the most surprising teams, and no disrespect to the Capitals, but maybe just one of the most surprising teams in the league this season. And I,
to be honest, Jess, I think if you said this, I think if you said this to Capitals fans, they would think they would say the same thing. They would say, "Yeah, come on, totally respectful."
Yeah, and I would not be surprised if Ovi comes back sooner than what we expect, and just picks up right where he left off.
Best Led Zeppelin song ever, and why is it Kashmir?
Okay.
Kashmir, why is it Kashmir?
I love Kashmir. I used to listen to it all the time before competitive runs to get myself like pumped up.
Right.
And also, it's like 8.5 minutes long, so you can knock out an entire mile.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But I'm going to go five-way tie between Hey, Hey, What Can I Do, Ramble On, In the Levee.
Ramble On, okay.
Nobody's Fault But Mine, and When the Levee Breaks.
That's good. In you had a sink to just throw at us.
It's not just two, we're talking five.
If I had one to listen to for the rest of my life, it would be Ramble On, because that song can change my mood in a second. It just makes me so happy.
Okay, last one. We can go on and on, but I don't know what we've done 800 seconds, I think. If you had a choice, would you put a palm tree on a hockey jersey?
Yes. I love, absolutely. It's so Florida. I look out my kitchen window and there's palm trees everywhere. I literally was putting my Christmas tree on my car the other day, and there's just like palm trees in the background. Yes. And also, I love the logo for the Panthers that is the palm tree and the hockey stick crossing.
Yes.
It's so cool. That's what I was getting at. It's so cool, and it's so indicative of hockey in Florida, and I just, so 100%. That's an easy one.
100%. So I have a jersey, Jess. I have it. I love it. I got the retro with the palm tree.
Yes.
And the blue. And Ryan hates it so much.
What?
It's ridiculous.
I don't know. It's something about it. That's why I asked you. Yeah. I'm not a fan of yours anymore because now you like it. So that's.
I love mine. I love that jersey.
Until the very end, and then I blew it.
No, you did not.
Okay.
No,
you
did not blow it
at all. Two against one here. I'm in the losing category. Jess, we're out of time. I know you got to go. Thanks for doing this. We really had fun, and let's do this again.
Same. I'm serious. I could have done like another hour with you guys.
We'll do it soon. And I'm wearing the sweater next time, Jess. Okay.
Love it.
Okay. I'm not showing up there, so you guys can take it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.